Hey y'all, welcome back to the Bruised Not Broken podcast. It's your host Desi, and if you are new family, welcome, welcome, welcome. So today's topic is called Culture is Not Kingdom, and I want to give you guys a little backstory as to how I came up with this topic. So you guys know, you know, I always pray over the episodes before I even, you know, get to talking about them, before I get to discussing them. I ask God to send me, you know, a message, to send me a topic that the people need to hear. And as I was riding in my car, Culture is Not Kingdom came up in my mind. And I was like, I gotta write that down. Like, I don't know where it came from. Well, of course, it came from God, but I'm just like, wait a second. Culture is not kingdom. Like, that didn't just appear in my mind for no reason. You know what I'm saying? So I wrote that down in my notes section in my phone. Okay, so boom. I haven't, you know, written anything else underneath of that. All I had was culture is not kingdom. Okay, so that was cold for about like 2 weeks, okay? I'm like, I'm going to write about this, but I'm not going to, you know, write about it just yet. You know, when God gives you a message, he will give you the whole thing. He will. He will start to download the things inside of your mind for you to say, because again, I don't want to speak off of my opinion. I want to speak from the Spirit. I want to speak from a place of holiness. I want to make sure that I'm telling you guys the exact thing that you need to hear, that your spirit needs to hear. So 2 weeks go by and I'm watching this this sermon on Redefined TV with Pastor Jeremy. And so I'm listening to it. And the crazy thing is he is differentiating. I can't even get the word out. Basically, he is comparing culture to kingdom. He's doing a comparison so that we can see the disadvantages of culture to the advantages of kingdom, you know? And I was like, hey, this is just confirmation that this is exactly what I need to talk about. Culture is not kingdom. Like, the two are definitely separate. And in no way, shape, or form should they be mixed. You know what I'm saying? We got to keep it separate. God called us to be set apart. He didn't call us to be of the world. But I ain't going to get too much on that because I don't want to spill too much of what we already about to talk about. But yeah, so it was like, culture is not kingdom. Like, I know I keep saying this, but it's just so amazing on how, you know, the word came about. It's amazing how God just uses you and works through you and then confirms his word through other people. I don't know who that is for, but God is about to confirm the very thing that he has placed in your heart through somebody else. It may be through word of mouth, whatever it is, God is about to give you that sign. So let's just get into it. Let's get into it. So at first I was like, God, what do you want me to say? Like, what do you want me to, you know, talk about? And the first thing that came to my mind was that too many of us say we love Jesus, but if God were to take inventory of our lives, would we have way too many treasures stored on earth or in heaven? The mid-15th century definition of culture. Y'all know I love to break things down. So the mid-15th century definition of culture is the tilling of land, the act of preparing the earth's crops, which came from the Latin word colere, C-O-L-E-R-E. I may not be saying it right. That's why I had to spell it for y'all. And that means to tend, guard, or cultivate. Okay, so in a sense, culture is the cultivation of worldly produce. If y'all ain't catch that, it's okay. Just stick with me. I'm going to say it again. Culture is the cultivation of worldly produce. Let's dive a bit deeper by checking out the word cultivation. So the 1700 meaning of the word is the devoting of special attention or study to the development. So basically, it's focusing on the development of a thing God already took care of. That was good. Focusing on the development of a thing God already took care of. Who is this for? Who am I talking to? You are trying to micromanage something that God has already taken care of. You have said that you've given it to God, but if you truly gave it to God, why are you still trying to manage it in your own terms? So when you think culture, I want you to take note of this, that culture promotes the desires of the earth. Culture promotes the desires of the earth. Now, I switched the word crops for desires because both must grow in order for it to take form in your life. Now, culture is also seen as the social customs and arts of a people, nation, or civilization, but sometimes what is traditional is outside of the law of God. Not saying that culture is wrong, but when you start to obey what seems right, you disobey what is actually right in the eye of the Lord. Okay, it's like having the right intentions for the wrong reasons. Okay, and at the end of the day, that still equates to being wrong. So, for example, two of my best friends are from the islands, okay? And something big in their nationality would be carnival. It's a festive, I can't even get my words together. It is a festival, basically a festive event where you basically rep your set as a unit instead of individually. And for my island listeners, there is nothing wrong with participating in carnival, but don't let certain ideals lead you away from Christ. So if you attend a festival to celebrate your nationality, enjoy yourself, but not too much to the point where certain aspects of that event require you to act outside of the fruit of the Spirit. You see where I'm going here? To all my single Christians out here dating, keep in mind that you want a person of kingdom, not culture. Because one is temporary while the other is powered by an eternal source. For all my note takers, I want you to write this down, okay? I'm about to explain to y'all what a person of culture is. 3 points. First point, a person of culture is one who is undecided, okay? Culture always changes as we grow older, okay? And our legacies then lie in the hands of the next generation, meaning that they will start to add new trends to the culture and as changes are made, so is the heart of a person of the culture. They can't just stick with one thing because they need to follow the trend. Because when they were young, they had a hard time fitting in. Who am I talking to? You try so hard to fit in that you don't care if you're pretending to be something that you are not. That you don't care if you are indecisive. That you don't care that you have a double-minded heart. You just want to fit in the world. And you would do anything, sell your soul, to fit in. I'm getting somewhere. Some point, this person of the culture that you fell in love with will then become a stranger to your heart. And just because they're trying to keep up with what's new, they lose sight of the one who stayed down and never switched up. So point one, a person of the culture is one who is undecided. Point two, a person of the culture is one who is hiding from purpose. How many of us know that purpose is not found in culture, but in Christ? Listen, y'all, culture already has its purpose, but do you? A lot of the time, the reason people waste majority of their life searching for that calling, that purpose, is because they are following culture, social norms that will soon fade away with the world. Listen, John chapter 1, verse 43 told us to follow Jesus, not society. And so when we're so consumed with doing it for the gram, we miss out on the opportunity to do it for the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. When Jesus, son of Joseph, came to Philip and said, "Follow me," Philip didn't think twice. We all need that kind of obedience where we don't think twice about where God is taking us, because to be in his light, to follow in his direction is more than enough. Continuing the story, Philip relayed the message to Nathanael, and Nathanael's response was this. Okay, we in John chapter 1, basically verses 43 through 51, when Jesus called Philip and Nathanael. So, Philip went to go tell Nathanael that, hey, Jesus, the son of Joseph, is here, the one of Nazareth. And so, this was Nathanael's response. He was like, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Like, you, Nazareth? Are you tripping? Are you sure?" Okay, that was his response. And some of us, you know, are trying our best to stay faithful to the kingdom. But the snake in the garden always pokes his head out at some point, especially when you're on the verge of a breakthrough. See, the devil seen that they were getting too close to Jesus, that they were so involved in who he was that he wanted to just disrupt them. And you may have some friends like Nathanael who always ask questions. Like, y'all remember that song, "Asking All Them Questions"? Why are you asking all them questions? If you don't know it, you're whack. Yes, I said it. You're whack. I'm just kidding, guys. But nah, y'all should look up that song. That song is so funny. But yes, that friend who always walks on what ifs, okay? They'll be like, Jesus, I'll follow you, but what if this doesn't go through? I follow you, but what if I fail? I'll follow you, but what if this gets in the way? What if? What if? What if? Jesus says, listen, when you follow me, those what ifs stay at the door. Leave them there. Because following me, it takes faith, not fear. Yo, this is so good. This is so good. I don't care if I'm getting off my notes. This is just good right here. I'm excited. So that what if is fair in the form of a question, which brings me to my third point, that a person of culture is one who has not been made perfect in love, because if they were, that love would then drive out that fear of following Jesus. Look, it says it in the Bible, y'all. I can't make this up. Let's look. 1 John verse chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Y'all heard that? The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So, a person who is of the culture is one who was undecided, hiding from purpose, and not made perfect in love. Let's go back to the story when Jesus calls Philip and Nathaniel. So after Nathaniel's question, after he was like, are you sure? Philip answered him in verse 46. He said, come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can't trust everybody's judgment. You can't. Some things you have to experience yourself, because God tailored their process specifically for you. Same thing goes for the people around you. You have to let them go and see for themselves. But yes, there's a but. Let not what you see interfere with your faith, because God is so much more than what meets the eye. So here lies a bigger question. Do you only believe when the blessing is in front of you, or do you believe in Jesus before it even happens? I'm going to ask that again. Do you only believe when the blessing is in front of you, or do you believe in Jesus before it even happens? Some of us only love the Lord for what he can do instead of loving him for who he is. If we're being honest, y'all only, you know, some people only love God for his promises, not for his love, not, you know, for the sacrifice that he, you know, committed for us, for our sins, you know, and it's sad, but it's true. And in order for us to grow, in order for us to overcome certain things, we have to live in truth, y'all. That's why, you know, I do this, you know, podcast. That's why I do these episodes, is to get you guys to grow deeper in your relationship with God. So if you're easily pleased by what a person can do for you, you'll never go far in life. When Jesus saw Nathaniel approaching, he basically read him. Nathaniel was like, wait, how do you know me? And Jesus replied that he saw him while he was still under the fig tree before Philip called him. Nathaniel was shocked, like, wow, you must really be the Son of God. And Jesus then replied, you only believe me because of what I told you, but this is nothing compared to what I'm about to do. This is nothing to the miracles I'm about to perform. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet. Faith is not needed for what you can see, but for the unseen. So do you have faith, or do you just favor God's promises? That was good right there. See, God is God whether we believe in him or not. So don't think for one second that God needs us. He wants to use us, shape us, and reform us for his glory. Everything that God does through us, everything that God does through you, is meant to be shared with the next person. But you can't be a person of the culture and try to pour into others. Because the very thing you're pouring isn't from the cup of God's eternalness. The very thing you're pouring is going to leave people thirsty. Ooh. If you are a person of the culture trying to pour into others, you are going to leave people thirsty. You cannot quench their thirst. You cannot satisfy their hunger. Because what you have is temporary. Everything that is coming from you is temporary. I'm getting somewhere, y'all. Listen, I'm excited. Oh, when I look at Romans 12:2, I hear God telling me that culture is conforming. When you follow the world, you look to man for satisfaction. And when you seek man instead of kingdom, instant gratification is what you're used to. Let's read the verse. This is Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Y'all know I love to break stuff down in simpler terms because I really want all of my listeners to get this. So, to conform to the world means you agree with it and disagree with God. I'm going to say that again. To conform to the world means you agree with it and disagree with God. Yes, I said it. Conform means to obey, to follow through with, to comply. And when we do these things, we act in agreement against God's will. God said, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Let's just stay here for a moment because this is good. God is showing us the cycle before we get caught in it. Who is this for? Y'all, I'm hype. God is showing us the cycle before we get caught in it. See, the Lord sends us red flags for a reason, and those are warnings, but how many of us actually adhere to them? How many of us actually pay attention to the red flags? Like, you don't gotta lie, Craig. Be real with yourself, because God already knows. If you're stuck in a pattern, know that it is a man-made cycle, one that can be broken by obeying the kingdom. The reason you're stuck in this cycle, the reason that you are stuck in this current pattern that you are currently living in is because you're trying to solve a God problem with a man solution. Ooh, I'm gonna say that again. You're trying to solve a God problem with a man-made solution. It will never work. It will never, ever work. So please save yourself the trouble and go to God. This morning, I got some clarity, okay? I was reading my devotional, and I got some clarity as to why we are to be people of the kingdom. And it's because kingdom-minded people are alive, even after death. We don't just perish, but we live on in our spiritual bodies. Now, to be a person of the kingdom, you must be willing to do these three things, okay? So if you are a note taker, please write down these three points that I'm about to give you. So, the first point. A person of the kingdom must be available for disruption. See, following the kingdom means we are to comply with God's law and to follow Jesus, which means that your life will always be interrupted. There is always someone who will need the anointing God gave you. You may be the only one able to get through that hard-headed kid who can't see past that trauma. It may be 4 a.m, but God doesn't care about time. He wants to know, will you get up and answer the call no matter the time, no matter if it inconveniences you? So a person of the kingdom, one, must be available for disruption. Look at Jesus. Everybody needed him. Everybody wanted to come to him. Everybody wanted to be used by him from all directions. Jesus had to find a quiet place just because there were so many interruptions. And understand, when you're following Jesus, when you are a person of the kingdom, you are walking in his footsteps, so understand that you will be interrupted, okay? Second point, a person of the kingdom must be ready to change, must be willing to change. A child of God always undergoes change because we are to be more like Christ and less of ourselves. And the only way that can happen is through change, okay? The only way that can happen is to be stretched, is to be manipulated in a way that we are being molded and shaped into the people God, you know, created us to be. So that means years of outgrowing old habits, wrong behaviors, and certain friends. The only constant in this journey or on this journey is Jesus. But yes, a person of the kingdom knows that change is good, especially for a student of the kingdom. I mean, there can't be any transformation without change. So just think on that. And my last point is this, a person of the kingdom must be willing to pack light and leave. If God called on you to leave the only home you ever knew, would you? Or would you stay because it's where you're most comfortable? When Jesus said to follow him, that meant to leave everything behind. Listen, y'all, you can't bring baggage with you on the journey, because then it'll take you forever to get to the place God wants you to be. What are you carrying that needs to be let go of? Travel light. You never know where God will take you next. Never, ever get too comfortable. That's a song, but I ain't gonna do that to y'all. I'm not even gonna sing the song. I'm gonna just leave it right there. So, as I end this episode, I really want to challenge y'all to really, really, really examine your circle. See who is of the kingdom and who is of the culture. I'm not saying that you can't associate with people, you know, who are not kingdom-minded, you know, but to limit their access to you, because not everybody needs to have that access to you. Because people who have access to you then can have influence over you. And you don't want their ideas. You don't want the people of the culture's ideas to rub off on a mind that God is trying to renew. Okay? So, yes, you know, Jesus was, you know, associates with sinners and taxpayers and all those. But he also knew when to separate himself. Because he knew that he was meant to be set apart from. That he was holy. You know, and he couldn't contaminate his holiness with the patterns of the world. He knew when to draw the line, and we must know to do the same thing. We got to draw that line in the sand and have those boundaries, because it's okay to help people, but you don't want to be so consumed with trying to fix them that you lose yourself in the process. So yes, culture is not kingdom. Know the difference between the two. And remember that you want a person of the kingdom, not one of the culture. And more importantly, you want to be a person of the kingdom and not one of the culture. So that wraps up today's episode. I really appreciate you guys for tuning in with me. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, drop a comment, rate, or review. Also, head over to my inspirational blog at Her Devotions on Instagram. Click the link in the bio, go to my website, take a look around, and make sure you order yourself a copy of the Steps of Faith Devotionals Journal. I love you guys. I love talking to you guys, and I cannot wait to get back with you guys in the next episode. Deuces!